Here we go.
Here we go.
Everybody wake up.
Time to wake up. Time to start the day. Wake up late with Dougie. He is the only
wake
way.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late. Everybody.
Wake up late.
Wake up.
It's late. Wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie. Wake up late with Dougie.
It's time to wake up.
Wake up late with Dougie. What rhymes with Dougie? He's just so funny.
It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Live from Danger Studios. Chorus praising, now you know.
We're the hottest show in this
wake
place.
Up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
Wake up late.
Now everybody.
I said 1, 2, 3. Everybody wake up.
Live from Danger Studios in Coral Springs, Florida. It's the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. Starring Dougie Almeida. Now, let's start the show.
Thanks, Elgin. Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Wake Up Late with Dougie show. I'm Dougie Almeida, and it's October, Friday, the 25th of October, and I'm joined with Eric Schwartz.
Do you know what rhymes with Snuggie?
Snuggie. Well, you know, it used to be one of my old jokes. My wife thinks I'm getting old.
Yeah?
I do a basic bit about, you know you're getting old when you find yourself home alone and you don't masturbate.
Oh, yeah.
You've given up.
It's like I need to have my bee stinger for the rest of the day. Once a bee stings somebody, it dies.
Yes.
And sometimes when you have that that love in you, that keeps you going.
Yeah.
That's your stamina.
That's it. But here's the thing. My wife thought I was getting old. She bought me a Snuggie.
Okay.
And I'm like, what's next? Life alert? You know what I mean? And then, but I fabricated my Snuggie. I cut a hole in my Snuggie.
Oh, so you could do
now
it.
We call it the Tuggy.
The Tuggy.
It's called Dougie's Tuggy. See what
Dougie's
I'm saying?
Dougie's Tuggy. Dude, there's so many
back.
Things that rhymes with Dougie. No, because it said right. In the song,
yes.
what rhymes with Dougie? And I'm like, I could find a couple things.
Pudgy? Fudgy?
Yeah. Perfect rhymes would be Snuggy and
yeah.
Tuggy. And, you know, anything with rug and just put an IE on the end of it.
Money,
kind of, that's a cheat rhyme.
Yeah.
If you were rapping, you could do it.
It's a cheap rhyme?
Cheat.
Oh, a cheat rhyme.
Yeah, so like if you're rapping and you've got all these words coming at you real quick and you said, yo, I'm Dougie, I got the money, I keep it funny, like then you go, oh, I
little
didn't really
off track.
Hear that is not an exact rhyme. Yeah. But I call those cheat rhymes.
All right, so if I go, I'm Dougie and I'm so snuggy,
that's a hard rhyme.
That's a connecting, like it gives an idea who I am.
It's a hard rhyme.
A hard rhyme. Yeah.
That's a hard.
I like it.
That's a exact replica of the, you know, we got the uggy part. That's
right.
The part you need
right.
For the rhyme.
I got to keep going down the uggy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Ugly, you can, but see.
Thanks.
I was feeling better.
And then,
I didn't say that it was a synonym. I said it rhymed.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, synonym.
He ain't so ugly. I could say that.
Ugly, see, that's also another adjacent rhyme. It doesn't rhyme exactly, but see, if you're rapping, yo, I'm Dougie. I don't be around people who are ugly. Then
you
get away with it.
Yeah, but you're right. You'd have to be like, yeah, I'm Dougie. I'm nice and snuggly. Don't like me if I'm ugly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right?
Get away if you're ugly.
Kind of. Yeah, exactly.
See? On the inside, because on the outside, that doesn't matter as much.
Yeah.
That's what people, they go, what's my good side? When you're taking pictures.
Right.
Oh, I got to get on my good side. I was like, you mean your inside? It's kind of a compliment, but I'm not. Because then they go, oh, you think I'm ugly on the outside.
For those of you who don't know, Eric's here in South Florida doing some shows. We did Tavolino's on Wednesday.
Thanks to you.
Well, yeah, I'm the producer.
Yeah, you brought me in to do the Ta-Da Productions.
Yeah, somebody called it Titties yesterday.
Yeah, somebody called it Titties.
It's Ta-Da. It's T-A-D-D-A. I didn't think Ta-Da like Ta-Da. But Ta-Da is T-A-D-A, if proper. I don't know if that's actually a word or... But TADA, T-A-D-D-A, is actually an acronym.
Oh, what is it? Acronymize.
The Always Dangerous Dougie Almeida.
Whoa!
Which was my fighting name, Always Dangerous.
If you called it TADAT, if you think of one more T on the end, then it's a palindrome.
What?
Same forward and backward.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's this guy, Zach Sherwin, who's like, he's a comedian and he raps as well. And he is, he's like... a savant of palindromes and crosswords and words.
Right.
He is like, he can't stop thinking of words and
really?
How they go together. And
does
how
he get laid a lot?
I don't know. I don't know.
If anybody who spends that much time thinking of words.
I mean, you know, he's not the archetype of getting laid.
Right.
But I mean, yay, there's some.
We all have our own calling.
You know. Neither am I.
No.
But I still do it.
Yeah.
But I'm saying, like, I kind of want to sleep with him after I see him doing the words.
Well, I was going to ask you. Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know. I don't know your sexuality nowadays. I don't know.
I'm straight.
All right. Well, don't be crude here. Straight, like in Zeph. You're heterosexual.
I'm heterosexual. Yeah. I date women. Well, I date one woman for the last long time.
You got a steady girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. She's a Filipino lady woman.
So you and I both have yellow fever.
Oh, you have a.
My wife is Cambodian.
Okay.
And she's part of my act. See, your girl's not part of your act.
Oh, yeah. You didn't listen. I did one
last
night.
Yeah, that's right. You talk about the culture.
Yeah, I say that I'm my girlfriend's Filipino, and I'm trying to learn about the culture.
I know a little Filipino.
Do you?
I know mahal kita.
That means I love you.
Yes.
I'm learning that because, and actually, my girlfriend didn't teach me that stuff. You know who taught me that? Joe Coy.
Yeah.
I've been doing some shows with him, and I'm like, he has this thing called Tagalog Thursdays, and I watch all of them, and I'm like, okay, I'm learning this new. So I learned that, and I learned Sus Mariosep. That means Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, but they put it together, and it's like, oh my God. It's like, Sus Mariosep. That's my favorite one.
Now this is interesting, because we haven't broken the news yet, but you just, before the show, you got some good news.
Yeah.
I know what you mean, because you don't want to say something before. I mean, it's supposedly confirmed, I'm guessing.
I feel weird saying it, because I just got
Now, this wasn't
phone.
Like a whistleblower heard somebody say something. This is straight from the source.
Yeah, so apparently, and I don't want to jinx it, but I think I'm going to Australia and Hawaii.
Wow.
With Joe.
Well, that's all right. It's not like you're going to Wichita
I'm not giving away a date. I'm not giving away that he's doing it. I'm just giving away that I'll be there.
And you're opening. And what better, how much cooler is it, the opening for one of the hottest comics in the country?
Oh, my, in the world.
In the world, right? I mean,
it's so crazy. I've known him since, 2003, I think we figured out. 2003, 2004.
This is the thing. How does this happen? All right. So, like in the past, like here in South Florida, some comics that I grew up with, that I started with, they ended up working at the Improv. Cisco Duran, who opens for Carlos Mencia.
Okay.
He befriended him and took him on the road. Gene Harding with Gary Owen. He toured with him for many years. So how does it happen? Like you just meet and. You know, you're not some asshole bugging him in the green room and shit. Yeah. How'd it happen?
So crazy. I never have opened for anybody. I've done opening spots, when I was coming up, but I've never been anybody's regular opener. I've headlined for over a decade, probably 15 years.
Yeah.
I've been, working as a headliner. I've just known him. We kind of came up together in L.A., when he first moved to LA, probably around 2003, we did BET Comic View together.
Yeah.
And we did this show in London, a TV show in London together. So we were kind of, in our formative years on the same path. And, he took off on really cool stuff with Chelsea Lately and stuff. And it's weird. We live in the same neighborhood in LA. And I bumped
into
him.
It's not on fire, is it?
No, I hope not. I haven't checked the Twitter.
That place is burning down as we speak.
Nearby, yeah. But right now, I would bump into him just at the grocery store.
Right.
More than any other community, at a restaurant. Dude, what's up? And we always just kind of had a really cool mutual respect for each other. And one time we were both headlining in Cleveland.
Right.
He was at the Improv. I was at this place called Hilarities. And we hung out. I took him into my room and I showed him how I make beats on my computer, and he was blown away by it.
Wow.
He always tells me that. He goes, dude, that made me realize I need to be doing my own content. And so he says that from that point, he realized that he needed to start making stuff, because he saw me making my own stuff, taking it into my own hands, and he says that that influenced him. And he told me that years later, recently, and I'm like, you look at somebody's career, how far it's gone, and you're like, I helped that person?
Right.
And you don't realize what I told him is, I was like, the best way to be an inspiration is to just be the best you.
Right.
And I felt that when I was watching him, because I was inspired by him just recently going on shows with him.
Right. You opened a few times, yeah, on the road.
Over the summer and up until now have been, like, I've probably done about a dozen or so of his...
It's got to be different. Like, you were performing at Tavolito's in front of 60 people or something like that. And last night at the iHeart Theater in West Palm Beach, went about 100 people.
Yeah, but, you know, every room is like, I feel like it's a puzzle, right? So you've done these puzzles before, so they might be easier for you, right? So if there's a puzzle that you've done and you get it,
right,
you're gonna get through it.
Is that an eye? Give me that eye.
Yeah, exactly, right? But then some puzzles are harder.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I have to do a retirement home? I've never done that.
Oh, yeah.
They may not relate
would
to
you. Would you do a retirement home at this stage of your career now?
I would do it. I would do anything. I would do anything. I mean, you guys, right. I don't, you know, it's from
the last time I did a retirement home, this lady was like falling asleep in front of me. I thought she died.
Yeah.
I thought, oh, shit, I'm killing in the wrong way.
Exactly. I wouldn't want to do it. I know that I wouldn't want to. Like, my ego wouldn't want me to do it.
It's not that rewarding.
Yeah. But then I would, if I had to do it, and I would look at the challenge and I'd be like, you know what? I need this. This is a workout. This is a lifting of a weight in a muscle that I don't ever work.
Right.
So do it. Don't expect anything. You don't have to be good. Take that pressure off you that you're going to be good, and then you have a chance of being good.
It's good. You know? I'll remember that for a long time, and I'll tell you in a few years that I learned from what you just said.
But to answer your question, how did it happen? So I was at the Brea Improv, and I pull up to Brea Improv. There's a mural of Joe Coy on the outside. I'm like, what? And that's like their colossal kings of comedy on the outside.
Right.
I'm like, it's Joe Coy. It's maybe Kevin Hart. Maybe George Lopez is on there. And I go inside, and then there's another mural in the front.
Of him again?
Yeah. And it says, congratulations to Joe Coy for, I think at the time it was like, 79 sold out shows in a row. And I'm like, what? So I take a video of it. This is from all that, like, Southern California improvs, like, they were taking that number. So I take a video of it. I go, dude, you are all over this place. This is amazing, dude. And I sent it to him. And he goes, oh, man, thank you so much. I'm at Irvine, which is just across the way. It's like driving from West Palm Beach to Fort Lauderdale.
Right.
It's like not even that far. And I go, and he goes, come down and do a guest spot. And I go, oh, I'm doing Brea tonight. I can't. Yeah. But I noticed you're there for 16 consecutive shows.
God damn.
I'm available Friday. And so I came down, or whatever it was, Sunday or Saturday. And I go, can I come whatever day?
Yeah.
And he goes, yeah, dude, come down. I go up on his show. I go like the next night or two. I go up, and it's like my dream audience. It's like an audience that like gets me so well that like from start to finish, it's like a puzzle that I can see all the pieces and I know how to put it together.
It's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, and so it what it showed me so far is that he's got a huge audience. Anyone who likes me is going to like him for the most part, right? Anyone who likes him for the most part will probably like me.
Right.
So what it shows me is the audience is out there. I just have to build that thing for them to show them. I need to build that thing that they're going to be able to show to their friends. Oh, I like this guy. Check this out. I don't have something right now that's reflecting my current state of what I'm doing on stage. I have some older stuff that's, you know, it's not the exact representation. It's like somewhat of a representation. I've grown since my last special. So that's what I'm really focused on right now is my next comedy special.
I'm still to write my first. And somebody says, you know, you should, because I've seen other comics that I've gone up with.
Yeah.
They've had an album out, and you're like, no one's bought it. You know, it's not like, you know, it's not like, you know.
It's not for that.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't want to, I'm still like, I know the name of my album.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hear the name?
Wait, what is it?
Dougie Almeida, I Mean No Harm.
Oh, that's good.
Right?
I like that.
Because, like, we get into certain topics that could be, you know, but you know, it's all fun and games.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, no harm. Everybody takes me as a guy who's going to come with like a Tony Soprano, going to come and punch him in the face.
Yeah.
But then you meet me and I'm a Snuggie.
Yeah, you're a Snuggie.
I'm a Snuggie guy. I'm not a bad guy.
That's your merch, dude. Snuggies.
I should start selling Snuggies. I was going to actually.
In Florida. They'll sell great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I said I'm going to go up north.
Those cold nights.
It's amazing. You know, but it's the audience thing, it's, you know, to me, it's like, you know, it's crazy how like a comedy, like I've younger comics look like, oh my God, cause I get depressed. I'm like, oh, I'm getting bummed out. I'm not where I want to be. Like, yeah. You're doing great. You're working. I'm like, it's all relative, dude. It's always, doesn't, you know, you know, you could be like Mike Vecchio, a good friend of mine. You know, he's a hilarious, great writer, comic, you know, he's not, like, we're talking, he's like, oh, I got TV spots. I got, you know, I got this car, you know, but I'm still not at that. It's all relative, man, because you want to be at that. You want to be doing theaters.
Yeah.
You know, around the world.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, he's doing the smallest I've ever played with him is, well, are the comedy clubs, but he does like 16 of them. So, he does like 16 shows and they're all sold out.
That's made like all week. You're talking about like in a week. Like he'll just do two shows a night, three shows, whatever it is.
Yeah. So like Brea Improv is 600 seats and he did... I think this time he did 14 because he was coming back from a vacation.
That's a big room still.
Yeah, it's still club. That's like bigger than some theaters.
Like Palm Beach is over 600, 700, Palm Beach Improv.
Yeah.
Supposedly one of the biggest rooms in the East Coast.
Yeah, maybe. I think Brea, for some reason, I want to say Brea might be bigger. It might be the same size as the Palm Beach Improv.
Yeah, because it's huge. Yeah. A lot of times, you know, I've been in there a couple of times opening for Norm Macdonald.
Yeah,
and it was Kevin Nealon. Matter of fact, we were joking. This is funny, true story. I was in the green room. And he was great, by the way. Kevin Nealon was a great guy when I met him, and really nice. And I we were talking about Norm Macdonald, between the shows, and at the end of the show, I said, "Let's hear it for Norm Macdonald."
Oh God! Oh, I've done that.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, this is not comedy related, but I think I should maybe talk about this because I used to DJ.
Yeah.
And I would DJ. I DJ'd everything, but one of the things I did was weddings. And I did my first wedding. I was so nervous because I didn't want to mess up their date.
Right. Yeah.
It's like their special day. I was so nervous. I was like going over the announcements like so many times. I rehearsed them. I was like, okay, give it up for Mr. and Mrs. Sanchez. That's how they wanted to be introduced. And I just psyched myself up so bad. Psyched myself out so bad that when I said it, I go, "Give it up for Mr. and Mr. Sanchez." Everyone looked at me.
And the parents must have freaked. Oh, no.
Yeah. They're like, oh,
shoot.
I mean, Mrs. I think I corrected it really quick, but still.
Yeah, by that time, it's too late. I was hosting at the old Hard Rock Improv for Rob Schneider.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his opening act from Australia.
Who's Rob Schneider? Very good friends with Joe Coy because they're both Filipino.
Yes,
half Filipino.
Yeah, he is. I think and Rob Schneider, oddly enough, he's a big soccer fan in Mexican soccer.
Oh, really?
You know, we were watching soccer game. I'm not a big soccer, you know, former player, but Benjamin, I think was his name, Monty Benjamin, or Benjamin Monty or something. He's a guy who used to open for him. He's from Australia. Very funny guy.
I know who it is. Monty Franklin.
Monty Franklin.
Yes.
Thank you. So here's the weird part. I know I introduced him before perfectly in another show, and then here now I'm starting to think about it, and I'm going up on stage, about to announce the guy. I'm ready to go. I know the guy's name. I don't need it written on paper.
Yeah.
And for some reason, there's another comic in Miami named Monty Benjamin.
Oh, okay.
So the minute I went to introduce him, I pictured Monty Benjamin in my head, and I go, oh, here's Benjamin Franklin.
Yeah. You called him Benjamin Franklin?
I called him Benjamin Franklin. Oh, God. Everybody thought there was a kite going to start flying in there.
Oh, my God.
And he comes up, yeah, everybody, I'm Benjamin Franklin. Amazing. But, you know, it's like, it's amazing how you can know somebody. I host my own rooms and stuff, which is great practice. I always tell comics, it's the best thing in the world is to have your own room and just run it.
Yeah.
Like last night at the iHeart, right, at the theater. You know, it's like, I'm worried because there's a lot of repeat offenders because this is a private event for Bremen Motor Car members. It's not open to the public.
Oh, so they get like a 3-year pass to these events, like people who buy a new car?
If you buy a car from Bremen Motor Cars, BMWs, seen a lot of people had BMWs yesterday, Mercedes, you know, that kind, they are a member of the Bremen Motor Car Club.
Oh, cool.
And then so they get all kinds of things, freebies like Latin nights, poker nights, and they put all the stuff together for their members.
Okay.
And I was thankful through People You Know. radio. My buddy Pete Leonard, mm-hmm. a radio guy, knows another guy, Larry Podwell, who you met last night, is with iHeart.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, we're thinking about doing comedy at the theater. And then my buddy Peter says, well, Dougie Almeida books, boom. Next thing you know, yeah. I'm doing shows with Joe Coy in Australia. I'm sorry, that was your timeline, not mine. So you know what I mean. So it's a great, but like, but that room in this in the puzzle for me in that room,
yeah,
it's a puzzle I've seen, but it's the same pieces with different shapes.
Yeah.
In other words, like, there's a lot of repeat offenders, a lot of people that have been there, you know. And I can't listen. I'm not turning over an hour of material every three months.
Yeah.
You know, so I gotta like, oh god, the same people. So last night it was actually cool because there's a lot of new people there.
Yeah.
So I kind of told some new jokes and threw in some old ones.
That's cool.
You know, in my puzzle and figuring it out.
Yeah, there's so many, like, I used to get real frustrated with, and you know, I still have the potential to do so, but you get frustrated with when the situation is not ideal, right? And I think you saw a little bit of it when the first night when we were at Tavolino's. I was so tired.
Right. Well, you were traveling all damn day.
Yeah, like I had gone through... you know, 6 days. Within 6 days, there were 3 days I didn't sleep. Mm. So every other day I didn't sleep or got 1 hour on the plane or something. And so, like, you know, things didn't go exactly as planned with the audio, which is bound to happen because I do this musicals thing that, you know, is not the normal thing for stand up.
Right. But it's very entertaining. It's different than. You know, it adds a different level. I think it's pretty cool because...
Thank you.
Yeah. I have a buddy of mine from high school that wants me to do a bit where he wants to... He's seen my act. He goes, if I could, I would put these images up while you're telling those jokes. I would play this music behind you. Mm-hmm. So he's got this great idea of putting this whole thing. I said, dude, you know what I want to do? Let's save that for a corporate bit. You know, I want to go and talk to financial planning companies and stuff like that, and we could put up all kinds of photos, and I could do a great corporate bit. We can make tons of cash.
Well, when I do my visual stuff, I do kind of something like that. But yeah, so the reason I brought it up is that puzzle thing is like, that's another thing when you don't feel like, you know, when you're like off your sleep or you haven't eaten or, you know, like it affects your mood.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know? Of course.
But I used to get like way upset even when I, you know, sometimes when something wasn't going right. But, you know, I kind of like look at it as everything's a challenge that you want to have. Like the pain of certain things of like not going your way, like you got to almost like welcome it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I want it to be a little hard, you know? I want it to be, if I do that, have to do that retirement home gig. That's what I'm saying, yeah. Like welcome it, like welcome the challenge. That's what I've kind of been trying to think about a little bit more.
It does, because sometimes you can get a little spoiled. Like, you know, like, you know, I talk about, like, again, growing up doing comedy here, I wasn't like an improv guy. I wasn't doing regular weekends hosting at the improv. Mm-hmm. I was having to go work on these other one-nighters and the other shows that you're competing with TVs, pool tables, you know, not the actual A-room comedy room.
Mm-hmm.
And it sucked but at the same time, man, I got good because you learn how to compete with that. You learn how to, you actually worked you harder. You know, it's like, I think you mentioned this in your act, like swinging the donut with the bat.
Oh, I did that last night. I don't know where that came. Oh, it was because I did my show with Invisaligns on.
Yeah.
And I have my Invisaligns on right now. And
it's amazing. I couldn't tell.
Oh, good. Then they're living up to their name. But it's hard to talk. And I was, you know, beatboxing. And, you know, it's a little harder to talk. You have to open your mouth a little bit more because you have something in your mouth.
Right.
So I said it was like a batting donut, like the donuts you put on to make your bat heavier. And then when you take them off, you can, like... you know, move a lot easier.
I used to do that when I played soccer.
Yeah.
I used to wear ankle weights all
day.
Did you? Yeah. I played collegiate soccer.
Wow.
That's how I went to college on a scholarship. But I was a goalie, believe it or not. I'm a short ass. I'm only 5'9". But I would like, when I was a kid, my dad used to have me jumping in sand.
Yeah.
You know, so I can, like, had good, you know, springs.
Oh, for sure.
You know, and he used, for some reason, he thought we'd get taller if we hung.
Yeah,
like we just hang from a pole.
Now, you would have been 5'6" if you didn't do that.
Exactly. I would have been a jockey.
Yeah,
but it was funny because I would play. We were just talking about I just lost my track.
The ankle weights.
Yeah, so like before a game, the day before the game, or day of the game, sometimes I would just wear the ankle weights up until the time I'd go to the locker room, and I'd take them off, and I'd feel like I could jump through the roof.
Yeah, we used to do that in water polo.
Yeah?
We played water polo, which is kind of similar to soccer.
Well, like Dave Williamson from my Florida guy who's in L.A. now. Mm-hmm. Actually, he just recorded his second album, too. We're talking about albums. Check it out. He was a big water polo guy.
Yeah.
I think he went to Auburn and played in Auburn.
I just played in high school for 2 years. So
that's hard to stay afloat. People don't realize. People who watch water polo don't realize that they're in like 10 feet of water.
Yeah, we're not standing on the bottom.
Yeah, it's not like you're just standing there waiting to get the ball. Yeah, hey, pass it to me. Splash, splash.
It's a technique of treading called the egg beater.
Yeah.
It's a kick how you basically move your legs in the shape of an egg beater.
Yeah.
So one after the other alternating. And it, for some reason, is way efficient on your body. And you can tread forever. Once you master that, you can tread for hours.
You could be on the Titanic and survive.
Yeah. Well, what's hard, though?
What's up, Carlos?
What's hard, though, is the goalies.
Right.
They have to pop up out of the water.
Yeah, yeah.
You know? And that we used to... I never did this. Our goalies did this. But our goalies would take Sparklets bottles, like the big 5-gallon.
Right.
And tread water until those empty. So they take a full one, put it up over their head in the water, and drain it down.
Like you have a hole in it, or
no? Take out of like the where the water comes out.
Yeah,
just the top, and it would just be.
So they'd be sitting there holding up this big old heavy water.
Yeah, we would do one 1 gallon or 2 gallons.
Right.
So we do those the 2 gallon the 1 gallon milk jug. And maybe we'd do two of them if we're really trying
to hold them
hard.
Up and try to get yourself up in the air while until they emptied.
So like you have to like they'd say get up out past your shoulders, past your nipples, or past your chest.
Yeah.
And like it was. Dude,
meanwhile, I'd be in the
hard.
Pool floating around like a dead guy.
It was hard, man. I went back and played an alumni game. This was only maybe like less than 10 years or maybe 10 years after high school, and I'm like. How the hell did I ever do this? Like, keep up with
right?
And I still like am super active. I run. I've done marathons, and I work out and stuff. But man, I went back and tried to play water polo with the high school kids, and I'm like, dude, we were in crazy good shape.
Yeah, it's always amazing. As a former athlete too, you think about like you mentioned alumni games.
Yeah,
like I a few years ago, actually, I should probably say when I was fighting because I was I was in better shape. Like after soccer and everything, I started fighting Muay Thai.
Mm.
So I trained. I had a strength coach. And I was in better shape than I ever had been, even in college.
Wow.
College soccer, we ran and stuff. But when I was fighting, I had a strength coach. I was lifting.
Yeah.
I was squatting 500 pounds, benching 380.
Whoa.
That's why they called me dangerous. I was just a beast. And it was like, and I was in tip top shape. So I went to go play my alumni soccer game, and all my former players were like, shit, Dan, you're better now than when you were
really?
In college. It was great. And then of course I went back a few years later, many years after when I started doing comedy.
Yeah.
And I had that comedy rhythm in me. And then
those comedy weights you were
lifting?
I
was lifting those comedy weights.
Yeah.
And so I went out there and I just coached. I didn't bother getting it.
I've been where you are.
Because you
I know
run,
what you need to
because
do.
It's amazing. Like you run. I remember years, like I joined this kickball league once. My wife says, let's have some fun. So we went to go in a kickball league. And, I used to play soccer. I kicked the shit out of the ball. And the first time I ran the first base, I popped my thigh
damn,
muscle. Like,
really?
Because you forgot how to sprint.
Yeah. Oh, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
Since you've lifted very heavy weights.
Right. Every morning I get up.
Yeah, right. Exactly. okay, so I was at the gym today, and there was a guy lifting pretty heavy weights, like kind of deadlifting or whatever. I don't know what.
Pricking it straight off the ground.
Yeah, I don't know what that exercise is, but he was slamming it down so hard,
right?
It like hurt my ears. Now,
did you run up and say, "Hey, look here, pussy"?
Yeah, is that because I felt like going, dude? It's too heavy for you. If
lighten
you can't
up there.
Set it down gently. It's too heavy for you. Now, is it just because it's that heavy that you can't put it down gently?
Or I would guess. Like deadlifting, like I never did that when I had a strength coach. I never squat. I mean, I did once. But I did squats, deadlifts, good mornings. Good mornings, like when you have you get underneath like in half a squat and you get like 500-800 pounds in there.
Yeah.
And you just get used to that. You get that pain threshold.
Mm.
That was the idea when you lift heavy weights. When you're going to squat 500 pounds, the first thing you do is when you take the thing off the rack and you got 500 pounds laying on the back of your neck.
Yeah.
If that's the first time you did it, you would wince in pain just from the weight on your neck.
Right.
And your body starts, oh, this is too much, and it freaks out, and it fucking, and you fall to, and you, No, but you got to learn that pain threshold.
Yeah.
It's like in fighting, you know, it's like fighting. People say, oh, yeah, but if you've never been hit, like I've been punched dozens, you know, millions of times. I've been kicked. You know, that's why when somebody's about to throw a punch at me, I'm like, you know, it's like, what is it going to I've felt this before. It's not going to shock me.
It's like my worst nightmare.
You ever been punched?
When I was a kid.
Long time ago, right?
Yeah.
So you don't like, and most of the time, so, but you're used to it. It's a pain threshold. Mm-hmm. But the weight, yeah, dead, especially if they're just lifting a dead weight, like lift, like a dead lift, just lifting it up and coming up with it. Yeah. That could be 700-800 pounds. So once you get it up, you're done. It's not like you have to put it down slowly. That's when you get messed up. The heavy weight like that's all the lift. It's all just the strength of like pushing off that initial, like that explosion from the ground up.
Yeah.
That's the hardest part because 800 pounds, could you imagine? You go to, you couldn't pick it up. You know, it's like, ooh, it's not moving. You got to, like, that's the hardest part, getting that first, that inch, you know, a little bit off that much weight. These power lifters are crazy. You know, these fucking guys are nuts.
Hey, are these people
and gals, sorry.
Are these people commenting?
Some are, yeah.
Oh. Oh, so they're joined.
The weird thing, a lot of people join. The weird thing about doing it at this time of day, a lot of people are just getting out of work and stuff, so we'll probably end up getting a lot of people watching it later.
Oh, okay.
In the meantime. So, you know, no editing, though, so don't screw up.
Oh, no.
You know?
There's no mess-ups.
All right. So you said it. You're excited just before the show. Looks like you're going to be opening for Joe Coy in Australia and Hawaii. Now, will you bring your girlfriend with you? Should I put you on the spot and ask you if you're going to bring her on a trip like that?
The invitation is open.
Yeah?
She has to work, though. I mean, if she can get off work,
yeah,
let's do it.
You know, because people ask me, like, wife and I, like, I had a surprise. My wife's birthday is on November 7th.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to stay around. So I planned a great surprise. I thought, you know, when you want to do something special and you're thinking, like, ah, that seems forced. That's cliche. And then something that's actually happens. You're like, oh, my God, I know what I want to do.
Yeah.
Well, the idea was I was in surprise the day of her birthday on November 7th. Say, hey, do me a favor, the night before, pack a bag. Like, you're going to stay somewhere, bring a bathing suit, you know, like we're going to a nice place, a beach, whatever, mm-hmm. nice clothes to go. Just pack that shit, and then we'll go, and you'll figure it out. Mm-hmm. And then her daughters and her friends go, oh, we're going to go to this place on the weekend. I'm like, God, that's where I'm going to take her. You know, it's like, you're spoiling my surprise. So I was sitting there today at lunch. I'm like, I got to tell her. I'm going to see if, you know, forget the surprise. She'll be surprised that I thought about it. Mm-hmm. And I did it. I let it out, and I just threw it out there, and she was so happy. So for her birthday, I'm taking her to the new Guitar Hotel.
Oh, I heard about this.
The Hard Rock Hotel out there. Beautiful place, beautiful pool. And she was so excited that I can't wait to get done with this podcast and get my reward for being such a nice guy.
Aww.
Yeah, sweet.
That's nice.
But I would love, like, my wife doesn't want to go with me to Wichita. My wife doesn't want to go with me to, like, you know, like...
Isn't that where the Rock Hall of Fame is? No.
No, you're talking about Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, Cleveland. Wait, Wichita, there's some kind of rock and roll thing there, though? No?
I don't know. What? I don't know as much rock and roll. It's a cool little town. Like, they have a loony bin there, which is a fun room. And you're right in downtown Wichita, so there's all kinds of shit you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Nice little town. But it's not like, hey, well, honey, come with me. You know, but what Australia.
Yeah, jeez.
You know?
Kangaroos. Yeah, I want to hold a koala.
You've never been there.
Well, I'm missing one show because I'm already booked. And so I'm missing Brisbane. But I'm going to be in Sydney, and then I think there's a couple more.
Wow.
But I think Brisbane is where the koalas are.
But here's the thing. And I think about comedy. The great thing is what you do on stage, your show, you know, because I'm always amazed when I see certain comics go to certain other parts of the world.
Yeah.
And like, how the fuck did those people even... But a lot of comics say you never believe how many people in other countries like American comedy. Like, like I had a friend of mine who says, look, in England, they would love you because you're this Italian-looking guy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They would just love to see you and hear, look how he's talking. You know, hey, look how he sounds.
Well, when we hear a British comic, we do the same thing.
Yeah.
Right?
It's unique.
He sounds so cool.
Sounds so smart.
Yeah.
Just keep away from my girlfriend. Yeah. You're going to bang her.
Well, you know, you would be surprised. I performed in India.
Yeah.
And they were like, they got everything. The only thing I didn't do is talk about my Mexican stepfather because they don't have Mexican people.
They don't know Mexican.
They will.
They eventually, if we don't build that wall, they're going to go over it. No, I'm like kidding. I just fucking, you know. I mean, it's like to me, you know, there's certain references, you know, like you said, like even in our own country, you know, it's mm-hmm. like in this country, we have Cuban here, you know, is the Hispanic. And in the north, in the West Coast, it's Mexican. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's amazing how certain things. But I'm so always like a friend of mine, Jimmy Schubert, which is open for Russell Peters, and he went to India and went to all these Middle Eastern countries and stuff. And I kept thinking, God, you know, But I mean, Jimmy Schubert's a beast.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that guy goes up and just tells tag, punch. I mean, yeah. It never fucking ends.
Yeah.
It's that humor to me is just like, but that's the thing I love about comedy. I'll see what you're doing and watching. It's funny and it goes in different directions and it's entertaining and it's, oh, that's cool. And then I'll go watch another comic and it'll be just punchline joke and just, you know, just complete like a whole different. And then because the whole time I'm watching this, I'm thinking, where am I? You know, like, where do I fit in this? You know,
yeah.
I'm my biggest enemy. I'm at that stage of my comedy career. It's like, you know, I feature for really well good people. I'm a solid. I think a pretty good feature. I could get solid. I got an hour of material, mm-hmm. but you know, I want to move into the headliner spots. And I'm not expecting to headline major rooms, but I want to headline the B rooms. And, you know, I'm at that stage. You know,
yeah.
I want to do that, but I'm too fucking old. You know, Eric.
We know. No, you know, that's not true.
I'm gonna quit. I gotta quit. I gotta just dump this. I gotta move on.
This is what I always say. No, don't do that. What I always say is, and I tell myself this all the time, is your best sales tool for moving up to that next level where you want to be is just doing a good job.
Yeah.
So when you know, when you've had those really killer sets, you get opportunities from them.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you got to be in the right place, though. You know what I mean? It's like...
Kind of, yeah. But like, you know, that's true. But like, okay, even if you're in some bar in Florida and you kill so hard, there's two other comedians on that show, and they're, for some reason, they're going to tell people how hard you killed. The word travels fast.
No, we're
fast.
Talking about Florida comics. They're going to badmouth you and call you a hack.
Well, I don't know. The word somehow gets around, and then next thing you know, you get an opportunity to do the improv, right? And then you do the improv, and then you kill really hard there. And then maybe that's a national headliner that sees you and wants to bring you on another show with them. And then you start doing more and more shows. And, you know, I'm just saying an example,
right.
A quick example of how it can grow.
Well, that, you know, like, listen, I believe in the philosophy and the theory of continuity.
Yes.
Right. Everything, if you continuously do something regularly, you keep to it, you stick to it, you eventually, that's a 10,000 hour rule, whatever it is.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
tipping point.
You do this and eventually only good can come from it.
Yeah.
You know?
It's working out. That's what, you know, like when you, I always compare it to fitness. I think it's because that's I've been in that, and I think, you know, so a lot of people have felt the effects of fitness, or, you know, where you lift weight and you get stronger.
Right.
It's the same with any habit.
The more you do it, and you know, I had a conversation. Thanks, Rich. Richard, by the way, says Dougie, do radio. Yeah, I know. I would love to. It's podcast. Don't. Yeah. But listen, I always said, like, it's funny how it's a quick story. I've done this podcast for years. We've done it, and it, you know, whether I don't spend, I just have fun with it. It's like having fun with it.
Yeah.
You know, do I worry about advertising? No, I'm not in for the money aspect. I'm in for just the routine of it, the fun of it. And my wife one day says, "Oh, what are you, you know, you're not making any money with this. You know, what the hell?" I'm like, "I don't know." And then it was like a week later, I get a call from a local radio show, morning radio show, the Paul Castronovo show, right. Said, "Hey, we're here, you know, we're missing people from the show. We need people to fill in." Next thing you know, I sat in for like five or six shows. Because I knew how to speak and timing and not, you know, all this nonsense. Yeah. Because I had done hours of this shit.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
This kind of thing, podcasting makes, I don't have, my podcast is not out yet. I'm working on it right now. It's a kind of involved podcast. But from what I've heard from other comedians, it's like, it makes your comedy better.
Yeah.
It just makes your comedy better because you're just exercising that muscle of kind of riffing with somebody else.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm sure that you do. I heard like a little thing that you were playing before that was like, and now it's the headlines with Dougie Almeida. So you're writing jokes for that, right?
Well, yeah.
So there you go.
I'm hoping I'll do it on the fly. Like I only got like three stories that you guys will catch today. We'll go to straight from the headlines in a little bit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I've written jokes from that. I mean, like I've had jokes because you tell a story. You know, like there was a great Florida man story.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's a dirty, of course, but a true story. A Florida man was married for a year. He was only 23. Married this beautiful woman. They had a beautiful couple, good-looking couple, 23. Beautiful. They're married for a year, and the guy got caught cheating on his wife.
Mm-hmm.
Being a Florida man story, he was caught cheating on his wife with a 72-year-old woman. Now, you've been in Florida enough. There's some sexy 70 with the fake titties,
yeah.
Botox. You know, some of them are actually, you know. But, you know, so there's the story, right? That's the story. And so the punchline, you know, to me was like, well, the wife got suspicious when she found denture grip on his balls.
Boy.
Right? I mean, a lowbrow, I get it.
Yeah,
I wouldn't expect that to be something, but I just think right off the bat, as a muscle you're talking about, when you read the story, you think, what's funny about this story? Like, because I, as a comic, that's how I am now. Even when I do my financial planning, I'm reading legal, like, trust rules and laws and taxes, you know, and I'm still thinking funny. I can't help but think, oh, this is, you know, imagine.
This is not a funny thought, but I just thought, when you told me that story, I was like, man, when you said he was 23 and he got married, I'm like, oh, man, he got married too young. And then you said he cheated with a 72-year-old. I'm like, he cheated too old.
this guy doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah. Like,
he'll never make it in comedy. He'll never make it in comedy.
I think, what were you going to say? I was going to say something when you said...
What's up, Danny?
Oh, Danny. By the way, that's what I was going to talk about.
Danny. Thanks for helping out. Big, big help, Danny.
What did Danny say? I can't say.
He says, what's up, boys?
Oh, Danny the Jew. He just did the shows with us.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a good dude. I like that guy.
Yeah, very, very good guy. Very, very helpful. Very good guy.
Not a quiet guy.
No. He's not the kind of guy you want to have when you're sitting shiva. Is that using the right expression? I'm not Jewish.
Sitting shiva is, when you're
somebody dies,
in
right?
Mourning.
In mourning, yeah.
But that's good. I like that he is who he is, and he's very... He's very himself.
Yeah,
you can tell.
He's a co-host here on the show.
Oh, he does.
Yeah, yeah.
Where is he? We got Elijah's chair ready for you.
Yeah, dude. Danny, well, he was gonna. We did it yesterday. We would have done it. He would have been in it. I think he's a real estate, and he's got his real estate license, Danny. Now.
Oh yeah, that's what he told me.
Yeah. So get to work, dude. Make some money. His wife's a doctor. So,
oh really?
Yeah. So, you know, he's like, you know.
Yeah, that's his joke. He says. I married into what every Jewish mother wants their daughter to marry, a doctor.
Good move. You know what I mean? I have a friend of mine that's like that, a guy I went to high school with. He married a woman that was like, she's like a major, like executive VP of one of these pharmaceutical companies.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she makes like $800,000 a year.
Yeah.
And then my buddy Lenny Travis, who used to be Lenny Travis used to open for Richard Jenny for years. So when I got started, he was the like, comic. It was like, oh my God, that guy's a liar. But he, you know, he's like, dude, I don't want to work anymore. I don't want to travel. I just want, you know, but he's married. His wife got married. He married a woman, his third husband. They have sex five times a day. She's like late 50s, 60s. I don't know what the fuck. And she's making, he sits home and ponders all day. You know what I mean? How else would you, as a retired comic, would you just like to marry a rich woman, right? And just chill out and get to sit home and, you know, ponder.
That would be boring to me.
Yeah, I got to keep busy. I've always been like that. You can't sit still.
Pondering is like, you got to ponder. That's like you're imagining, you're daydreaming, you're thinking up the next thing, but then I want to do something with it.
Now, when you have those moments to yourself, do you find yourself always thinking ahead, like I gotta, what's next, or can you actually turn it off?
I can turn it off, but I mean, I'm always like nagged by the million projects that I have stacked up in front of me.
Yeah,
and I've been trying to do now is think, okay, there's always gonna be those million projects or ideas. Right. I'm trying to actually do less things. Because I've been hearing just from several sources that I've listened to that you don't get anything done if you have 10 goals, but you'll get it done if you have one goal.
So, yeah. I mean, that's what I feel like sometimes. I got too much shit going on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not giving enough of it attention. You know, sometimes like the podcast, I got this, I got that, I got this. Well, what if I just did this?
Yeah.
Like the booking, the this, you know. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it goes crazy. But if I don't, then I sit here, then I find myself sitting there going, what am I going to do now?
There's a book called, and I haven't read it, but I've heard like, you know, tidbits out of it called The One Thing.
Right.
And it basically helps you, they focus on what's the one thing you can do today or right now that will help you knock down those other 10 things that you want to do. So like, let's say you want to sell out all these rooms around the country. Well, what's the one thing, you know, you want to do that? You want to do a special that's on Netflix. You want to sell a bunch of merch. Well, what's the one thing you can do right now? And maybe it's like, I want to make this podcast, and that's going to help, you know, because if I do a podcast, I can grow my audience. I can have tons of stuff to put up on my social media.
Right.
I can, you know, and if I grow my audience, now I can, they'll come out to my shows. So like that one thing that will affect all those other goals you have, Like, that's what it focuses on. Is
it's
like,
got to be. It's got to be something that partakes or it participates or adds to the master plan in a sense.
Right. So it's like, what's that? Instead of trying to break down the brick wall with like 10 hammers, what's the battering ram?
Yeah.
What's the battering ram move?
Yeah, I like that's what they called me in high school, the battering ram.
Did they?
I just made that up. At any rate. Well, you know what? Let's do this because we got a show at the Hollywood Brewery tonight.
We do.
Yeah, Hollywood Brewing Company. And I don't know. It's kind of like a last minute thing because unfortunately we had a venue we were booked for and great with Casey and Spaz, but the venue just closed on us not too long ago.
And then so you stepped up.
I tried. I you know what I mean?
Dude, you got us a gig.
And I don't know how good it's going to be. But hey, if you're in Hollywood, Florida tonight, the Hollywood Brewing Company on the beach, I think the show's at 8. We got to be there. You may want to go right after this, and I'm gonna. Yeah. I got to shower and stuff. Get ready. But if you need me to be there, whatever, we'll figure it out. You know what the fuck you're doing. In the meantime, it's that time of the day, and it's hopefully it works. Otherwise, I'll be really upset. I'm gonna get mad and lose it. Yeah, I'm gonna lose it. See?
Oh. This is it.
That's right.
Straight from the headlines.
I don't know if they heard it, but I might just flip it in later. That's right. It's time for Straight from the Headlines, where we talk about things from here and around the world, and we make fun of it. Miley Cyrus tells women you don't have to be gay if you find the right man. I didn't know. See, for somebody like Miley Cyrus, I'm guessing she doesn't know what she is. I mean, her daddy was Billy Ray. What's his
Cyrus.
Name?
Cyrus.
Billy Ray Cyrus.
Cyrus, yeah. He
had the mullet. Yeah. And Don't Break My Achy, Breaky Heart.
Yeah.
And he had one. He was a one song hit wonder, right? I mean, if you think about it.
Well, his second hit was even bigger.
Was it?
Yeah, Miley Cyrus.
Oh, yeah. And then I'm sure we all
Hannah
saw the
Montana.
Tape. We all saw the tape of her supposedly giving oral sex to somebody.
What?
You didn't see that?
No.
Oh, I did. About 150 times. They said it was her. And then, of course, she did the whole thing.
That's Paris Hilton.
No, that her too. Yeah, she was doing it too. But there was a video going around that was supposedly Miley Cyrus, and performing oral. And she was a mousketeer. And of course, then she got she was doing those shows where she's like dancing around stage with a beeve hanging out. Mm-hmm. Which I'm not going to complain.
I love Miley Cyrus. I think she's so super talented.
Yeah.
And at one point when I was DJing, it was her Sweet 16 party, and I used to do a bunch of entertainment industry parties, and she, I guess through whoever channeled that booked me, inquired about, I was one of the DJs that she was considering for her Sweet 16 party, and I didn't get it. But,
Wow, can you imagine?
But hey, just be in the running.
Were you going out with your girlfriend then?
Oh, man, I don't even remember. I think I had another girlfriend at that time.
Yeah, well, you would have dumped her for Molly.
No, she was 16.
Oh, okay, that's right. Yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to get Harvey Weinstein. No, who am I talking about? Who's the creep that killed himself, supposedly? The guy who had the island. The guy who had the island in Bermuda, or whatever, who just killed himself.
Oh, yeah.
We see how forgotten he is.
I hope everyone forgets his name.
Says here, don't call me Miley Cyrus Angel, but she should probably call her publicist and start crafting a notes app apology after the latest comments. And, people are, I don't know. Do you think people are a little overly sensitive? Here's my philosophy. Instead of expecting me to really cater to everything I say and how I say it to almost all the vast variety of people out there in the world, why don't everybody just be a little thicker skinned, right? Not so quick to judge and be a little more tolerant of certain things. You know what I mean? Isn't it easier? Like we talked about, she's the whole thing about homosexuality, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I was born Roman Catholic. Okay. So I understand people of faith,
right,
of their feelings of the homosexual community. There's some people that are very opening, they don't judge other people. Most Christians don't judge other people. But everything, they get too judgmental and stuff like that. Like, there was a lady who was a Miss America, and she lost the title because they asked her how she felt about gay marriage. And she lost the title because she said, well, it's against what I feel. I'm not going to tell people what to do, but if you ask me how I feel about it, this is how I feel. And she got condemned for her feelings.
Well, I think society as a whole has now accepted homosexuality as fine.
But here's the thing. I agree.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. It's almost like racism and the thing with like police officers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Racism is when you look at somebody and you judge them by their color. You make a determination because of what you think. As black guy, he's guilty. Like, Otto and George, black guy, guilty. You know, it's an old joke. I don't know if you ever saw Otto and George.
Mm-mm.
Oh, you got to pull them up when you get a chance. Very funny comic with a puppet. Anyway, so but at the same time, it's almost come to the point now. The minute you see a man with a badge, you assume he's a bad cop and he's going to beat you over the head for no reason and not be. So that's almost the same way. You're almost judging somebody, unfairly because of the badge or something. So,
I don't think everyone does it. I don't
know, but my point is that if you do, rightfully so, the black community has a reason. There's been cases where obviously, right, there's been this and that, but at the same time, to then judge everybody and like carry that judgment and teaching the youth, hey, don't trust them, don't do this. It's almost like telling like a white person, hey, don't trust the black guy. You know what I mean?
Right.
Similar. So in areas of faith with homosexuality, mm-hmm. listen, there's not one race or creed of people that everybody likes, right? There's people that don't like white people. There's people that don't like black people. There's people that don't like Jews. There's people that don't like Christians. People try to accept it. But for some reason, the homosexual community wants everybody to accept and like them. And here's the point. You're right. For the most part, gay marriage, there's been things that have moved, advanced, like progressed, right, in society. But there are people of faith that won't, they don't agree with it. Like their faith teaches them that it's not something they agree with. And they keep it to them as long as they don't tell them, hey, how dare you, and interfere with their life.
Yeah, I guess what I would say to that is the some of those religions also used to teach that black people were inferior and weren't cool.
But again, when we get into the area of debate, we don't get into the area of debate of saying, back in the day, you used to open people's skulls open because they had a headache. So we know where modern medicine has gone and we've moved forward from that. But my point is, if somebody of faith is not if somebody who's really a person that's really of strong faith, and to get them to agree and understand the ways of homosexuality, you're never going to do that.
Right.
And here's my point. It's wrong to do that. Mm. Let that person believe whatever they want to believe, and don't get mad at them for that. Just respect the fact that they have a reason to believe that. Aside from maybe ignorance or something like that, it's something they've learned through generations and generations, is respect of somebody's way of life. If you want me to respect the way of life of the homosexual community, then you also have to be tolerant and respectful of those who perhaps don't see your way.
So let me ask you this. So do you feel that homosexuals, I'm not going to ask you. I would ask that person, that hypothetical person, do you think that homosexuals are inferior? Do you think that they should have all the same rights and all that? And if they were to say yes, then it's like at some point, if you really think that, then religion's teachings have to be adapted. And I don't even
if somebody says that, if they say they're inferior, right? That's one thing. Then the rights. Like, no, I don't think. Like, I don't think there should be gay marriage. If somebody says that, well, good. Well, as long as you're not a legislature, as long as you're not somebody, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
The person has a right to feel whatever the fuck they want to feel. And as long as it's not completely ignorant, if they have reasons and backing and generations, and that's their faith and whatever it is, whatever church they go to, listen. You could say, look, I'm going to tell you, I don't agree with you, but whatever you feel, good. Just don't push that shit onto somebody else. A recent case came out with the woman who the person that wouldn't shave the guy who thought he was a woman, like I can't remember, it was like an esthetician or something. They were going to like groom him, and she refused to work with the person.
Okay.
And it's like the cake, the baker, and stuff like that. When it comes to business, you should almost be able to decide. If somebody's rigid religious beliefs are that strong and they don't want to condone it. Like the baker got off, they won the case because he also doesn't do Halloween cakes. The guy is not like he's just against gay people. The guy is like he thinks Halloween's a pagan, so he's a religious person. Mm-hmm. So that's why the guy won the case of the baker, where he didn't consider discrimination for not doing a wedding cake for the gay wedding. So it's almost like respect the people. It's one thing if you do something against it or impede or like control, but to ask somebody what their feelings are and then judge them on those feelings. This is where I have an issue. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm saying, okay. This is such a topic because I don't know exactly what you're saying, but I'm just saying I kind of feel like it's the same thing as race, religion, sexual orientation are kind of on the same playing field to me. Like if you're going to discriminate against somebody because of their race, it would kind of be the same offense.
Discrimination, like treating anybody in a negative way, shouldn't matter at all. Humanity should dictate. Forget about everything else. To me, humanity should dictate when you act in front of other people should be dignified in the golden rule, irregardless of all that. Yeah. But what you feel, what you think, what you believe.
Yeah, you can't tell somebody how to feel, right?
Or yeah, you can't. Believe, that's the slippery slope that I feel our society is falling into. Like in this case with Miley Cyrus. Here's a woman, she's fucking making a stupid comment. Like, look, you won't. Obviously, she went gay is because she got tired of dick for a while. And she kissed a girl and she liked it. And that's her philosophy. And you know what? If the people that get mad at that are thinking, again, they're thinking from their box, not hers. I mean, I'd like to use a different words than Miley Cyrus's box. But my point is that if you are really awoke, if you are really understanding and transcending into this, you know, complete universe, then anybody who got if the gay community got mad at her for that, they're fucking missing it. Yeah, they got a lot of critiques about it. And I'm like, well, listen, you're not looking into her. You're looking at her decisions and her words through your fucking life. And you're making judgments on that. Like, you think somebody says something, you know, again, with the presidential thing, the lynching, everybody says, oh, that's a fucking word. Meanwhile, during the Democratic, when the impeachment of Clinton, people used that word. Yeah. And it's like because it was a word, you know, and again, these words to me have no power. The words should not have power over humanity. You know what I mean? Yeah, they really shouldn't.
I think Miley is one of the most gay friendly celebrities.
Well, that's what's weird about it. You know, when I read that story,
supportive.
Yeah. And that to turn on him just because it's, hey, I didn't like what you said. It's a little too much. Yeah. You know, this is interesting. I guess the big topic when it comes to this is biological male sets world record for women's cycling. You know, this is a big topic now, how guys who are biologically men, they see themselves as women, so they're transgender, and they're competing in male sports. This to me is wrong.
I've heard Joe Rogan talk about that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
It's wrong. Like, can you imagine being a woman and you're in a wrestling match and all of a sudden you're fighting Juliana?
Definitely have an advantage, you know?
You would hope.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you would think. You know, there's an MMA fighter Joe Rogan talked about, and he got shit for it because he said it's a dude.
Yeah,
she beat the shit out of this one chick. It's not fair.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, that's a crazy. Like, I wonder sometimes, are they transgender because they want to succeed in sports? I don't know.
There's an ulterior motive then. It has nothing to do with, I'm just saying. But, you know, but if, okay, listen, I want to be a woman. So, okay, great. Okay, but you know what? I'm going to compete in wrestling.
But at the same token, I think if anyone is willing to go through all of that, there's a lot of stuff that is associated with it. It's probably because, I'm sure that is because that's how they feel. You know, that's how they feel. That's how they are going to be happy. And if that makes them happy, it makes them happy. But yeah, if they're born with certain genes and they're competing in a, you know, they have the man muscles, which are stronger biologically, you know, that's crazy.
Yeah. You know, there was the girls track team. There was a bunch of stories about, you know, and state track meets. It was, you know, transgender males competing in the women's sports. It's just, to me, it's wrong. You know, it's just not fair. A single car parking spot just sold in Hong Kong for almost $1 million. Believe that?
A single car?
Just one spot. You thought it was bad to find parking in New York. there have been many times when you would have given anything for a parking spot, but $1 million. Hong Kong is notorious for its high property prices and has some of the most expensive homes globally. Now it may cost somebody $1 million just to park their car.
Jeez.
Yeah, I'm not going to complain about my taxes now, my real estate taxes. I thought they were a little high this year.
Yeah, New York, they charge you, what, like $60 or something? But that's nothing.
Yeah, well, you know, it's actually monthly parking for some people is like $500, $800 just to have a spot.
Ugh.
You know, not even comparing about the rent.
You could buy a car, many cars for that. Like, you just get a new car.
Right.
Throw your car away.
Or just, when you think about it, yeah, just Uber.
Yeah.
You know, imagine what you can Uber with.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
$1 million.
Well, listen, you know what? We got to go.
Yes,
we gotta head to Hollywood.
Okay.
Anyway, guys, thanks for joining us here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Big thanks, Eric, for joining
us
here on the Wake Up Late with Dougie Show live on Facebook. You can hear us on Podbean, Stitcher, and iTunes. It'll be on there if you want to catch it later. Or go to our fan page on Facebook at Wake Up Late with Dougie Show. Don't forget to follow our show at Wake Up Dougie and Wake Up Late with Dougie on Instagram and on Twitter. And follow me at Dougie Dangerous. How about you?
Oh, you can find me my website, ericschwartzlive.com, and you can jump off to anything from there.
There you go. That's the way to see. He's smart. He's a nerd. You know, a self-admitted nerd, by the way.
Yes.
And don't forget, if you are in Fort Pierce this weekend, Stewart area, Port St. Lucie, we're going to be at the Sunrise Theater. Comedy Corner down there at the Black Box Sunrise in Fort Pierce. Go to that. Go to Sunrise Theater in Fort Pierce and get tickets, all right? But I can explain everything out to you. Still take your directions. Just put it up on fucking navigation, all right? Anyway, other than that, go to DougieAlmeida.com for more dates. I got some stuff in New York coming up. Excited about that. But thanks for being here, buddy.
Thank you, man.
Going to have some more shows. Thanks have some fun me. This weekend. God bless everybody. You'll see you here right at this same spot.
People on the earth, can you hear me? Came a voice from the sky on a magical night. And in the colors of a thousand sunsets, they traveled to the world on a silvery light. The people of the earth stood waiting, watching as the ships came one by one. Setting fire to the sky as they landed, carrying to the world children of the sun. Children of the sun. All at once came a sound from inside, thick beam of light hit the ground. To the door, to the world of another time. And on the journey of a thousand lifetimes, with the children of the sun, they started to climb.